Good morning. Today is Monday, the 11th of March. Joining us this morning is the traveler, Mr. Michael Davies Hughes.
Where am I? What time is it?
Yeah, exactly. And who are you? Oh, that'll all make sense shortly.
Stay tuned.
Yes. And you're wearing blue, huh?
I am.
I guess that must be residual from going back in the... Yes.
It was
back where we'll talk.
It was what was clean.
Oh, I see.
And what I could iron in short notice.
Oh, so it was not a reference to a political party.
Absolutely not. You know, this is a nonpartisan position that we have
here,
Brian.
Well, I understand, but I know who the lobbyists are.
I had a multitude of colors when I was back in D.C.
Oh, good.
I did. I had earth tones, reds, blues. Yeah. There are pictures.
Yeah, okay. You ready for your question?
Hit me.
All right. Oh. No, okay, I'm in the wrong. I thought I had asked that one already.
Do you have the right book? Let's start with that.
I'm in the middle of it.
That looks like a picture book to me.
No, those are called doodles. All right, here we go. In modern warfare... Is it infantry or machines that determine the out? Oh, wait, that's a stupid one. Okay. Why is an overly eager person or group said to be gung-ho?
Gung-ho. An overly eager group.
Yes.
Gung-ho. Oh, my gosh. Can I have some clues here? Does it have anything to do with boating ships? Maritime
ships.
References.
I don't see. Well, there is a reference to the U.S. Marines. That's
okay.
As close to the water.
Okay, Marine. Yet. Marines. It just put me out of my misery, please, Brian.
Oh, glad to oblige. The adjective gung ho comes from the Chinese word gong he, meaning work together. It entered the English language through the U.S. Marines, who picked it up from the communists while in China during the Second World War. Hmm. Because the Marines admired the fervor of the Chinese leftists in fighting the Japanese, while the rightists under Chiang Kai-shek seldom fought, they adopted gung-ho as a slogan. They emulated the communists with gung-ho meetings and eventually called themselves the Gung-ho Battalion.
Yeah. Fascinating.
All for one. Yeah. You know what I'm really impressed with myself on?
What's that?
But I remembered how to pronounce Chiang Kai-shek. That's
we're going to have to take your
from the 60s and
word
70s.
For it right now.
Oh, you weren't around then, were you?
Well, I was born in the 60s.
Were you?
Yeah. Yeah, before man landed on the moon.
You only have about a 5-month window to not to have. But it must have been right about that time frame.
Well, you know, in the ballpark,
yeah,
as they say.
Yeah.
Maybe you can ask me about in the ballpark, you know, for our next. This idiomatic language, you know, I have very few, because they're culturally biased, you know.
Of course they are.
In the ballpark. That's not something that we use in the United Kingdom.
You don't have too many ballparks. You probably have soccer stadiums.
Right. Rugby stadiums.
Parks are probably like Mary Poppins.
Parks,
right?
As in...
And Dick Van Dyke.
Yes, exactly.
And penguins.
Yep. Yes, penguins.
The Emperor Penguins, I thought they were the coolest ones in the whole movie.
Do
you? Of all the animated.
Uh-huh.
I thought the penguins were cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. We digress.
You're not a big Mary Poppins fan?
More of the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, you like the car?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, wasn't that cool?
The flying car. Love that.
I guess we just have airplanes now.
How boring is that?
Yeah. Well,
I did get to have an opportunity to go to, because I was in D.C. last week.
And all right, bridge it across to the topic.
Yes,
okay, fine,
yes. Fine. And so on Friday afternoon, we were done on Friday at about 1 o'clock, and my flight wasn't until Saturday morning. So on Friday afternoon, I went to the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum.
Oh, really?
And I got to see the display for
capsule?
The Wright brothers.
Don't they have one of the space?
They do have a space capsule. They do have a space capsule.
Oh, you show off.
Yeah. Well, the beautiful thing about all the, I believe all the Smithsonian museums there in D.C. is that they're free, you know?
Yeah.
They're free. So you just get on an app on your phone, not even an app. You go on the phone, go to a website, and on your phone you just reserve a time. And then you just show up and you wait in line, and the line wasn't too bad, and you walk in. It's pretty cool.
You know who the Smithsonian is named after?
Mr. Smith.
Smithson, yeah. Really simple, basic, right? But I bet you a lot of people, yeah, what do we know? You know,
yeah.
100 years later, or whatever it's been, 100, 125. Smithson.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, yeah. So you have to, oh, man, I'm jealous all of a sudden. Going to D.C. in the swamp? Nah.
No.
Go to the Air and Space Museum? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What was the biggest, coolest takeaway?
From that week?
No.
From the Air and Space Museum?
The week can be later in the show. I'm focusing
the important
here.
Stuff.
Yes, exactly.
I would say that seeing the fuel, the rockets, the rocket engines for Apollo 11.
Ooh, really?
Massive.
They had 11 there?
Massive.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Scale is something we don't really appreciate.
Yeah. And engineering, you know, just even back then, just the engineering that went into creating those monsters.
Well, and so much of it, my understanding, wasn't computer. It was
right, a lot of analog
break out
stuff.
The paper
yeah.
and pencil and right. Let's go to work.
Yeah.
Let's figure out how we can accomplish X or mm-hmm. Y or Z. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty cool. And then seeing the actual spacewalk suit.
Kind of looks like wow. The Michelin Man.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Another American icon.
The Michelin Man.
The Michelin Man.
Yes. Yeah. I think that what would we have in the UK? What tires that we have? Dunlop. Dunlop. And
oh, is Dunlop there?
Yeah.
It's an English brand?
I may get... There may be some comments on the show on this one, but I think that Dunlop might be.
But I bet he didn't fit inside the space capsule.
No, not me. I would have to be.
No, I meant the Dunlop dude.
Oh, no. The Michelin Man.
The Dunlop dude.
The yeah. Dunlop dude. I don't think we had one of those.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian Coconut Water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's Homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. I'm done geeking out now with the museum. You didn't bring me anything back, did you?
From the museum? No, yeah. I'd probably be arrested if I try to bring anything back from the
museum. I didn't mean one of the real things. I mean, I'm sure they must have had keychain.
Oh, they did not. You know, I'll know that for the future because I will probably go back.
Oh, yeah.
And so I will keep that in mind.
Any thing that reeks of NASA.
Yeah, I did not know that you were a space enthusiast.
Yeah, and realized that about the age of 9, it wasn't going to be for me.
Yeah.
Could not fit.
You're a little on the tall side there.
Right up there, there was a kid that I grew up with, if folks have been around for a long time, Mark Lindstrom, at the end of Edgewood. We were at the other end. And Mark was a test pilot for the Air Force.
Oh.
I think his dad and his dad were buds, flew the first F-15. How's that for a gut check? Let's see if it'll hold together. Vroom! How high, how fast, you know, the Top Gun symbol.
Yeah.
But you were proving whether or not the machine itself would work. not whether or not you could survive. It wasn't a new thing at all.
You know, I'd be willing to be a guinea pig for some things, but things like that, I don't know about that.
You know, I've proven to myself too often lately, if you're going to get wet, go in the deep end, not the shallow end. I mean, if you're in, you're in, right?
Yeah.
Go in instead of dabble on the edges.
Yeah, but feet first or head first?
I prefer cannonball. Yeah. There's just this amorphous shape dropping in instead of rolling your ankle or breaking your head open.
But if you're gonna go in the shallow end, you want to go feet first. But if you're gonna go in the deep end,
you want to wade in.
If you want to go in the deep end, you might as well just go head first.
Yeah,
because deep enough. Profound.
Well, it depends on how deep is. If you have 1 foot at one end and 3 feet at the other, you got a 3 foot deep end, I would not go head first.
Sure.
Yeah, unless you want to see my feet dangling or twitching after I've hit my head.
No, we're talking Marinara Trench deep.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Then you get those weird fish coming up. I think I'll stick to shallow bay. How's that?
There we go. Little perilous plunge.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well. Yeah, perilous stroll, perhaps.
Yeah. I heard that Winston went and jumped in.
Yeah, and survived.
Yeah.
He did not go head first. I have visions of people sticking in the mud. I know they base it on tides and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they do. That water's pretty deep still at that point.
Yeah.
I did it 1 year.
Did you?
Oh, my gosh. That water, it was cold. I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Oh, yeah. It's like 50s.
Really cold. They had. Did they still have the hot tubs? Yeah, that was a relief. Anyway.
So what took you back to D.C.?
So I went as part of a delegation of California County Superintendents. So there were 9 of us from different parts of California. And then we also had 2 staff members from the California County Superintendents organization. And then 1 D.C.-based lobbyist.
You're a lobbyist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating.
Somebody's got to be the tour guide.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, and she's the one that got, her name is Noelle, and she got all those meetings set up. So we had, over the course of 2.5 days, got there Tuesday, started on Wednesday, Thursday, half day Friday. We had 37 different meetings.
All congressmen or
all
senators?
Congressmen. Well, we had some senators. We had mostly representatives. They're all congressmen, right? Mostly representatives in the House of Representatives. And then we had a meeting with...
Hey, wait, you were there for the State of the Union.
Yes. In fact, the hotel...
Must have been interesting.
The hotel was only about less than half a mile from the Capitol.
Oh,
and
so you got to see all the...
Just the security was unbelievable. It was crazy.
Did they still let you in the building?
That day and that morning.
Hmm? Yeah, even with all the security.
Yeah. Yeah. They had it buttoned up tight, obviously, the Capitol itself.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, they had hundreds, if not thousands, of, you know, military, police. That place was locked down.
Oh, very cool.
But that morning, you know, this is the one thing that I appreciate many things about the United States. One of the things that I do appreciate is the access of the public to their representatives in Washington. Like you, I mean, yes, you have to go through security, you have to get checked, but you can go and walk in.
Walk the halls of Congress.
And walk the halls of Congress.
Yeah.
And walk in the belly of the beast, you know? You can go down the tunnels. We went through the tunnels.
Oh, really?
Underneath.
Oh, cool.
And
from office to office?
From office to office, yeah. And can you imagine doing that in the Kremlin? Like, you know, it's just, or many developed countries that you could have that kind of level of access to members of government. So I certainly appreciated that. But we met with, congressmen, congresswomen, and with some of their staffers. So we didn't, every time we went to an office, we didn't necessarily meet with the representative themselves, but members of the staff, which oftentimes actually know a lot about the issues that you're bringing forward.
Yeah, more focused on the events that and the issues that you guys are talking
about. Exactly.
Rather than the broad strokes and that kind of stuff.
But I was struck with how knowledgeable the congressmen and women that we met with, they know their stuff, you know? It's not just lip service.
Well, we'll talk about stuff when we come back.
Yeah.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from the County Office of Ed by way of Washington, D.C. last week.
Yeah.
So what was the biggest takeaway for you? Was it the access these folks had, the knowledge of the information that you were there to speak, the topics?
Yeah.
With staff, was it the flowering cherry trees?
They weren't flowering yet.
Not yet, huh?
Not yet. We're a couple of weeks early.
Oh.
Although the weather was pretty
warm. What a shame.
Warm.
That would be cool.
Kind of humid.
To be there where the trees were all blossoming.
For sure.
What was your... What's the one thing you remember the most?
I would say that I left feeling like we did our jobs as a collectively.
Cool.
I just felt that sense that... Because I'm not really into the politics of the position. This is my position is an elected position. I understand that. And my focus from day to day is, you know, you get the work done in terms of what it is to lead a county office of education. However, I have the privilege of exercising my position to be able to advocate on behalf of education in Humboldt County at the state and at the federal level. And I felt like we had that opportunity to do that. And I left feeling, you know, hopefully we made a difference.
What questions did they have that surprised you?
I think that what I appreciated, and maybe it was a little bit of a surprise, is how much they were interested, seemed, and it, you know, you can kind of tell if somebody means it or not, how interested they were about issues around education where we lived. What were some
rural?
Of the rural? Yeah. I mean,
that was a big thing.
I had my talking points. You know, I had my marching orders for what I was doing. We had six different issues that we brought to the table around either legislation that we wanted to have passed or funding that we wanted to have increased on specific matters. My role was to advocate for the reauthorization of what's called secure rural schools funding. And secure rural schools funding is not just for schools, it's actually for essential infrastructure in counties. Because what's happened in these timber communities, there are 39 of the 58 counties in California that are known as timber communities. Sure. And it's surprising because actually L.A., is a beneficiary of these funds, LA County, and you know, think about how populous LA County is. But
well,
you think about
trees.
LA National Forest, you know, they have large forested areas. So what happened is, you know, you don't have the same tax base in a forested community because they're not developed.
Right.
But you have these huge swaths of forests. And at one time, when the timber industry was booming, 25% of the revenues from those timber sales would go to counties, would go to schools.
Right.
With the decline in the timber industry, the increase in protected forests, those timber sale revenues they're not happening.
And the taxes in lieu of not being paid in a timely fashion.
Yes.
So you kind of like a triple whammy.
So these secure rural schools are a safety net for these communities, our community included, to be able to make up. And and we had a three-year reauthorization cycle that just ended year 23, which will actually, will just ended 23, 24. So this year.
The current fiscal year.
Yes, and has not been reauthorized. Now, today, the federal budget comes out. Federal budget proposal comes out today. We'll see if it's in there. If it's in there, then I feel like we got to win.
Not only did you win, but they got a three-day turnaround on the win, too. Wow.
What? Things happen quickly in Washington, right?
Yeah.
No, but so, you know, that was important. And I felt like there were a couple of people, congressmen, congresswomen that I spoke with, that when I made that pitch, they were, what? That's not in the budget? And turn to a staffer and say, make sure that we sign on to that. Right? So that to me is, okay, that's great.
Yeah. Well, and I cannot imagine other than just the sheer volume of what the federal budget document looks like. You know, even staying away from the fact of whether or not it's been passed in a timely fashion, whether it's balanced, you know, all these things that are supposed to be happening. But the minutiae. I mean, look at the county's budget, what, $500 million. You start going line by line by line by line, you're going to go blind before you make it through, you know, the second year's worth of budget. I mean, it's just so detailed. Can't imagine at the federal level.
Yeah.
That level. So kind of cool that there was a recognition of it. Now, I would think that all states that would have timber or historically have timber would be beating that same drum.
Yes. And I'm hopeful that is happening too. The 41 of the 50 states actually are beneficiaries of these funds. So we're not unique in that in terms of California. But
it was the first time for at least one of the representatives.
Yes. Well, you know, they may have heard it before, but hopefully this resonated with them. And
that's right, the presentation of the information.
Yeah, maybe
critical.
So. Well, like you said, the minutiae, there are thousands of pieces of legislation, hundreds of, if not thousands of lines of budget items, like line items for the budget. And so if you have the opportunity to have that personal interaction and say, hey, this is important. And, you know, there are very few that are not going to be receptive to something that benefits kids. You know,
right.
At least have the conversation. They may not agree with all aspects of it, but, you know, one of the most striking...
It becomes a priority issue then, and they just shift from another to that.
Yeah, exactly. One of the most maybe powerful interactions that we had, and so we split into, like I said, there were 37 meetings that we had. We split into two groups. So there were 9 of us, so we had like a 4 and a 5, and we split the groups up depending on who was a representative. If there was a representative that was your congressional district, then
sure.
We went, like I went to Huffman, and you know, there were other people that went to their
own. Did he meet with you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep, absolutely. Got some photos, and we had, so Congressman Costa, and Congressman Costa has been in Congress for, I don't know, probably...
A long time.
Decades. Yeah. And we just met with Garamendi. Garamendi's been in Congress for 50 years. So I think between Garamendi and Costa, they probably had close to 100 years of experience on Capitol Hill. So Costa, he pulled out a GED diploma for his mother, who received her GED when she was 70 years old. And he started tearing up. He was so passionate about education and the importance of education. I mean, it was pretty striking. That was pretty cool.
Did you get a picture of that?
Did.
Of the GED? I mean,
well, we had a picture of him showing it to us.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Was there any blowback?
Not yet.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, tell me something new.
Yeah, we were warned, not warned, but we were informed that we had to have some contingency plans. The what if? What if someone stonewalls? What if someone, you know, pushes back? How do you deal with that? We didn't deal with any of that. We had a pretty receptive audience with each of them.
Cool. Now, was this Education Week, or was this just a California contingency going back? The broadcasters had the week before.
Yeah.
And it was, I think every state sent their state association and some representatives, and they basically invaded.
Yes.
Was this Education Week?
Or not was specifically. This was the spring. This was a spring federal advocacy trip that our group of California County Superintendents go on every year. So there's about 9 or 10 of us.
Did you get any invitations to come back?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, we did.
And hopefully you made some invitations for them to come and
visit. Absolutely. Yeah,
come see us. In the boonies?
Come see us out here, yeah.
Yeah. Pardon me, in the shade of the eucalyptus trees. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 844.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:49.
Already. Right. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, when you're in the West Coast.
3 hours ahead. And
that's right. It's almost lunchtime for you now, isn't it?
Adding insult to injury, the morning after I get back is daylight savings.
Yeah.
There's another hour gone.
So you woke up about 3 yesterday afternoon?
Like a zombie. Good thing I have lots of coffee this morning. I know you've got some ketchup here for me. I might just drink it straight from the bottle, actually.
Oh, gee. Would you go back again?
I would love to go back. I mean, it's a fascinating city. There's so much that's there that's so close, steeped in history. Now, of course, the context of the history, right? I'm from the United Kingdom, so it's all relative, right? We're talking 300 years as opposed to 3,000 years, however, that said, everything is, close together. So that whole row, from the Capitol building, Washington Monument, looking down the mall, all the way to Lincoln Memorial. I mean, that site in itself, you think about the great orations that have occurred over the years.
Yeah.
From that vantage point.
Or just the people.
Yeah.
Who walked here.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I've not been to the Holy Land, but, there's that, Christ walked here. Okay. Lincoln was here.
Yes.
Jefferson was here. Washington was here.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
That kind of stuff to me is... I would probably spend a lot of time in the memorials.
Yes.
And also the World War II memorial and the Vietnam War and all that, the military stuff.
Absolutely.
First wave through.
Absolutely.
Then I'd play in the museums. You wouldn't see me for a week.
Yeah. They're beautiful buildings through those museums. There's just so many things you can see.
Did you get to walk on the sidewalk in front of the White House?
No. Just like I said, I mean, we had a jam-packed schedule. I did have that afternoon, like I said, on Friday before I had to.
But they were probably tearing down all the security after the...
They were very quick. Actually, by Friday morning, all of that stuff was gone. It was amazing.
Now, that would be cool to watch.
Yeah.
Those processes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do it all the time. I'm sure when a visiting dignitary comes in, maybe not to that same extent.
Yeah.
But something pretty close.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things that I did that stuck out to me as well is as we were walking past the Capitol itself in the morning, I mean, we were just feet away from the steps of the Capitol, right?
A little surreal.
Well, and I thought, how on earth in this day and age was a group of people able to storm the Capitol? Thinking about the January 6th event. I found that kind of perplexing.
Mind-boggling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of mind-boggling.
I think there was some encouragement or gates open or something.
That.
But yeah. Nonetheless, the fact that people can walk.
Yes, right in front.
That to me is cool. You get the wingnuts that do what wingnuts do, but it's still kind of cool to be able to feel as if you could do that. Did you feel safe there?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen some things in Washington, D.C. as one of the most crime-ridden.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, we just went
different
in
districts
those
and different areas.
Yeah, I mean, I did take some walks around, but I didn't veer too far away from, you know, the capital area.
The cool stuff.
The cool stuff.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
would you?
I know. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm staying here. This is where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you actually find a swamp?
No.
I mean, the thing is built on a swamp.
Yeah.
The whole that was one of the things I remember from, I think it was high school history, was that once air conditioning was invented, all of a sudden the amount of legislation that was being pumped through at the federal level, like, quadrupled.
Oh, interesting.
Because they were there longer.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a swamp in the middle of the summer, nobody's there. Or early fall, because it's just too humid.
Mm. It is. It was actually pretty humid even when I was when we were there this past week. But it was a privilege. Honestly, it was a privilege. And it was, you know, the irony of it wasn't lost on me that, you know, here's a Welshman, right, walking the capital to you know, on behalf. To try to influence legislation for U.S. education.
But on the other hand, how cool that can happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you're going to give a presentation on this next staff meeting, or are you going to go to a civics class and share some of this
stuff? I would love to do that. You know, I'm not going to push myself upon anybody to do that, but I'd be happy to.
Yeah,
yeah.
Only 15 minutes. Yeah, I can imagine you try to squeeze this down to 15 minutes. No chance. Well, welcome home.
Thank you very much.
All right,
it's good to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.